In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Consoler, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to discuss the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first section will be from Verbum Domini, and Numbers 20 and 21. It's all about God the Father. Quite beautiful. The title of the section is God the Father, Source and Origin of the Word. It begins. The economy of revelation has its beginning and origin in God the Father. The economy of revelation, which means what? Creation. If there's no creation, there's nobody to reveal to. And then, the gift of God's life. If there's no economy of grace lost and recovered in the cross and resurrection, there's nothing to talk about. And so, see, the economy of revelation is that all the act of creation, governing of the world, the calling of the people, all of that, you see, has its beginning and origin in God the Father. That's why Pope Benedict says in his next line, by his word the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. You have word, and then you have breath, or spirit. It is he who has given us, and now he moves on to the that was the economy of creation, and now salvation. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So, the Father is the origin of everything. Within the Trinity, where there's co-equality and co-eternal existence, and outside the Trinity, where there's creation, the creation of man, redemption, the whole economy of the church, and ultimately, eternal glory. Pope goes on now to speak about the Son. In the Son, Logos made flesh, who came to accomplish the will of the one who sent him, God, the source of revelation, reveals himself as Father, and brings to completion divine pedagogy, which had previously been carried out through the words of the prophets and the wondrous deeds accomplished in creation and the history of the people and all mankind. In that long sentence, the Pope is saying, if you really want to have as deep an understanding as the Lord would like to give you about the whole plan, everything outside the Trinity, you have to learn it from God the Father. Now the Holy Spirit is the one, you see, who will make our hearts sensitive, you see, to Jesus. The role of Mary, the Mother of God, is to make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who identifies us with Jesus, and then we know and love the Father, sharing in Jesus' knowledge and love of a Father. That's the rhythm. And the source is the Father. So, this text is saying, can you imagine the thrill of coming to know the Father yourself? And in another way, understanding this infinitely generous, active love by which everything else comes about. You see, that's the economy of revelation. Or another way to put it is the economy of the incarnation. Because from the beginning, there was an economy of incarnation. And it begins in within history with the call of Abraham. And therefore, you see, but the Father is behind all this. The fathers of the church, notably Augustine, Gregory, they're very sensitive to this presence of God throughout the Old Testament. The Father and the Logos and the Spirit. St. Irenaeus speaks about how the Logos came to speak with Abraham. The Logos came to direct Moses. Okay, so he goes on. All God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. Men and women are thus enabled to set out on the way that leads to the Father, so that in the end, God may be everything to everyone. A God there, in that text, Theos, is God the Father. In fact, I'll have to go by memory because I forgot to look it up, but I'm close. There are 1,314 occurrences of the word Theos in the Bible, in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. All but five or six refer to God the Father. Theos. He's everything. At Mass, the canon of the Mass, we come to you, Father, with praise and thanksgiving, and the whole canon of the Mass is addressed to God the Father. That's why at the end, when we mention Jesus, we say, through him and with him and in him is to you, God the Father Almighty, all on unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory forever and ever. The whole canon of the Mass is addressed to the Father. In fact, in that text I've quoted several times from the Catechism, you see, Christian prayer is a covenant between God and man. It is the work of both God, the Father, and ourselves. It's entirely addressed to the Father in union with the human will of the Son of God made man. So that you see, all of this effort, the whole economy of the Incarnation, is to bring us to the Father. That's why Saint Ignatius the Great, well, they're both great, but the first, the Bishop of Antioch, who was brought to Rome to be martyred. So he's writing to the Romans, and he's saying, for my food, I desire the flesh of the Son of David, and for my drink, his holy blood, because I hear within me a voice of spirit, like the sound of many waters, and it keeps saying, come to the Father, come to the Father, come to the Father. So that is what Pope Benedict is accenting in this section, you see. As the cross of Christ demonstrates, God, the Father, also speaks by his silence. The silence of God, the experience of the distance of the Almighty Father, is a decisive stage in the earthly journey of the Son of God, the Incarnate Word. This is profound. Hanging from the wood of the cross, hanging from the wood of the cross, he lamented the suffering caused by that silence. My God, why have you forsaken me? Advancing in obedience to his very last breath, in the obscurity of death, Jesus called upon the Father. He commended himself to him at the moment of passage through death to eternal life. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Do you see what the Pope is doing in here? Is trying to remind us that this Bible is not just a book. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God addressed to us by the Father, who is himself, the Word, a person. And all this Bible is bringing to make present to us the actions and words of God, who opened up for us a whole new way of relating to him when he chose Abraham. Now he has a people, and he acts in those people. And for a millennium, he prepares them to be the people from whom comes the light of the world. So then the Pope concludes, and we will too, our reflections with this paragraph. The experience of Jesus reflects the situation of all those who, having heard and acknowledged God's word, must also confront his silence. This has been the experience of countless saints and mystics, and even today is part of the journey of many believers. Why? The next line of the Pope is very important. God's silence, prolongs his earlier words. In these moments of darkness, he speaks through the mystery of his silence. Hence, in the dynamic of Christian revelation, silence appears as an important expression of the Word of God. That's not thought of very often, is it? But you see, silence is the place where the Word is spoken. Silence is the place where the Word reverberates, but it is silence. We don't experience the Word reverberating, but it is. Then when God deigns to speak, show himself, open up the scriptural text, make a sacramental communion a very powerful experience, he speaks again. But there is this alternation. And there can be, as there is in the lives of the saints, long periods of silence. And in those, our spirit gets purified. And our faith, which is like a tiny little pilot light, burns with such a fierce light, you can't get near it. A reporter once asked Mother Teresa, "Tell me, Mother Teresa, what is it like to have deep experiences of God in prayer?" And she said, "It has been so long, I have forgotten." Does that mean she wasn't in touch with God? No. But it was so deep that it was in this high point of her spirit, burning brightly, moving her, giving her zeal and courage. It was probably in that state of spirit that when she came to New York and this board of directors or advisors or something had got themselves all wrapped up in fundraising or whatever they did, she just calmly said, "Board dissolved." That was the end of that. We're not going to do it this way. It's too human. It's too concentrated on money. God will send the money. We're going to care for the poor. But that came from this purity of spirit that was at work in her within the silence of God. So it's very precious that the Pope has reminded us, as we move on now to talk about the Word of the Lord, that there is a silence of the Lord.